Balancing Spirit with Kristen and Kimmy. I'm Kimmy. This is my girl, Kristen. And we are back for another episode. We had such a great time last week that we thought we'd finish our conversation. But as always, we want to start off with what's in your cup. And I believe somebody already beat us to it.
Yes. John said he has Coke Zero. He knows what's coming. He knows what's up. Hi, Angie.
Kristen, what is in your cup?
I have got some kind of seltzer here in my cup, and I also have water. I'm kind of double fisting it because it's been a very, very hot summery day. Oh, hang on. Oh, you can't even see my cup. So I have, and it's backwards.
Ooh.
The Parisi Tap House.
No.
Well, it's backwards for them. It's backwards for them.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's fine. But Angela says she's got water. And Carol has water with lime. So, yes, it's very much a Florida hot day, I'm sure, for everybody everywhere. Kimmy, what do you have in your cup?
I can't see the comments, but that's okay. So, it's a rainy day here, and I'm feeling kind of cozy. So, I'm drinking lemon ginger tea.
Ooh.
And
like be a you nice mean human.
Be a nice human, which I think is perfect for Pride Month, along with my love earrings, because love is love.
Yes.
So I'm going to drink my lemon ginger tea. It's hot as hell, but I'm going to drink it anyway.
Oh, that sounds good, too. You guys, let us know if you haven't already. Let us know what you're drinking in the comments. And just as a bit of a disclaimer, I've got baby chicks, just in case you didn't notice the whole pool in the background here. Or if you haven't heard them jumping around, you probably will. They're hiding underneath that yellow brooder there. They're underneath, hiding at the moment. But if they start,
they're giving us a lovely ambiance. It's adding to the environment.
They definitely are. Hi, Julie. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Okay.
All right. I'm getting off this. I can't see the comments.
Oh. That's okay.
I want to see your comments.
So tonight's topic is part two of Beliefs and the Ultimate Truth. So where we left off in the last episode was that we were talking about earthbound spirits. Could it be earthbound spirits or concentration of energy and intentions? And the different realms, like lower vibrational, higher vibrational. And we will get into that. But first, yeah, Carol says her precious grand peeps.
It's cute.
She's not lying. She has grand peeps, grand dogs, grand muse, all of the above. So we started off kind of talking about cults, and we mentioned Teal Swan because of the documentary that was released very recently was finished. So I wanted to kind of go back to the beginning of that for a second and bring it back home later. So bear with me for a few minutes here. So there are some, Jose Joe says he's got a higher vibration double IPA. That's awesome. Let me know where I can find one of those, a higher vibration. Maybe it's Reiki charged.
You can actually charge anything with Reiki, so including your drinks.
So
bring that vibration up a little bit.
Yeah, because we're going to get kind of like down in the depths for a second. But we have this saying, this very famous saying, when it comes to becoming a part of a culture or a community, where it's like, oh, you must have drank the Kool-Aid. But I'm not sure that people actually realize where that phrase comes from. And it originates with an organization called the People's Temple. That was the organization name. In 1978, Jim Jones led 913 followers to literally drink the Kool-Aid and take their own lives in pursuit of reaching another realm, a higher vibration, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, Jose mm-hmm. Joe knows. He said Jim Jones immediately. The Branch Davidians. 80 people died in battle with federal agents in Waco, Texas. And there was a movie that was done by one of my favorite producers and directors, Kevin Smith, called Deep State, if you're interested, was based on that event. Yeah, the Angela's Jonestown. Or Heaven's Gate, where there were 38 suicides. People thought that they needed to leave their vessel, their human physical form behind, in order to reach their version of heaven. And then we get into organizations that are more about exploiting people financially, like Scientology. They control what people read and how they think, and then they take all of their money to finally go clear. And this is where it gets kind of muddy. Like, when you bring Scientology into the whole cult phenomenon, as well as all these other cults who ultimately took people's lives, trying to reach that higher purpose, that higher place. If we bring it back to Teal, say that you're actually considering the value of your own life, and you happen to come across Teal's content and see that she's offering the opportunity for you to, this is a quote, surmount your suffering, heal your wounds, and awaken to an empowered, authentic life, even if you have been stuck in pain for years. That sounds incredibly enticing to someone who is in that place.
Absolutely.
But in reality, I mean, I can only guess that she is making vague observations about a person's emotional state and recognizes her audience. She's very smart about that. She recognizes her audience. She knows that people are going to be in crisis. The interesting thing that I found about her website, too, is all the way down at the bottom, a teeny tiny fine print, that if you are in crisis, please click this link for resources. All the way at the bottom, what in the world? So when you're making these vague observations about someone's emotional state and knowing your audience and assuming, oh, they're coming to me because they're trying to figure out what their life's purpose is. And there's something about her with suicide. Well, if you're considering suicide and you're still here, then there's a reason for it. I'm sorry, what? I mean, I appreciate that she approaches the conversation like that, where she's not bringing in the cavalry. Yeah. But most of her processes employ just deep shadow work that her clients may not be psychologically ready to explore without the help of a licensed professional. She has no degree, no certification. She's not licensed by any state board, none of that. And her shit is very expensive. And yeah, Carol says they go
Carol's
after,
absolutely right.
Yeah, they go after absolutely the vulnerable. Right. And hi, Katrina. Thanks for coming and joining us. But so the reason why I feel like people are kind of resistant to Teal at this point is because there's still a very recent issue with a cult that we're still trying to overcome as a society, which is Nexium. And if you're not familiar with it and you feel like Googling it, it's NXVIM is how it's spelled. So people went into this organization thinking that they were going to learn a self-help technique from Keith Raniere. And they don't realize that the goal is to get you to sign up for a week course, and then it's a 2-week course, and then a 6-month course. And then you're being forced to divorce your spouse, give over your assets, work for no money, all while convincing you that you should isolate yourself from everyone else. This part right here sounds a lot like Scientology to me. Isolate yourself from everyone else because they're suppressors that you once cared about, including your parents and children. But the thing, what's different about Nexium than it is with Scientology is that eventually what people don't realize is that, or maybe they do, I don't know, if you've never heard of them before, is that after all these courses and you go through all this, you end up becoming a sex slave to the leader.
It's a recruitment scheme.
Yes.
The whole thing is a recruitment scheme.
The whole point of cults and depending on these beliefs that people have, is it starts with a very teeny tiny one, and it eventually grows and grows and grows and grows. And these people literally groom their followers to follow their, I don't know, doctrine. I don't have a better word for it. Whatever they say is appropriate and what isn't appropriate. And it can take 10 minutes for you to join a cult, or it can take you 10 years. I mean, it's not something that you can just switch on and off. I mean, I'm not a survivor of a cult, but that's just my understanding of it, as a disclaimer. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, with Nexium, what just is insane to me is that, like, after you've kind of joined their club, if you will, they would brand you.
Yeah.
So you were theirs, you know? I mean, if that doesn't wake somebody up, I don't know. But by that point, you know, they're pretty much fully involved in that. If anyone knows or has ever seen General Hospital, there was, not to be funny, but there was an actual, it's like combining like a bunch of cults into like a year or so of General Hospital. And so they had the branding, they had the drinking of a potion, but with that, it would kind of knock you unconscious to where you would actually, your initiation was actually being, you know, raped and stuff. So they did kind of touch upon that on General Hospital, but it's just kind of the same things that you were saying. So they were kind of, without saying it, they were kind of bringing it to light.
Yeah.
These situations. And it started off exactly, you know, you're taking a self-help class, you resonate, you see all these people who seem to be like you, down on their luck and whatnot. And so it makes you want to take another class because you're around people who you think understand you better than anybody else. And then you're taking another class. Now all of a sudden your words are no longer yours. You're speaking what was told to you, you know, and you're slowly becoming brainwashed.
Yep.
And you totally don't see it because now all of a sudden you feel like you have purpose. And then, you know, they even allow you to go out and help and preach people in the community. So now you're doing something good. This is not bad. This is good. But all the while, there's so many things going on behind the scenes. And it's quite sad.
Yes, it is. And hey, Terry.
Yay.
Finally able to come watch.
Share this out. Make sure you share this out too.
Yeah, for sure. Carol says, by going after the vulnerable, it makes it easier to manipulate them. And that's absolutely true. So, and we're going to get to that. But I want to kind of talk about some of the red flags that some organizations use to kind of rope people in. Because this, I promise this has a place in the spiritual community. I promise it does. But it's called the BITE method. So it's behavior, information, thought, and emotional control. So some examples of that, like behavioral manipulation, would be depriving people of sleep or regulating your diet through forced fasting, practicing financial exploitation, manipulation, or dependence, any of the above. As far as the information goes, they can practice deception by deliberately withholding or distorting information or lying, which is very, very common because nobody has the ultimate truth. That they minimize or discourage access to non-cult sources of information, but they make extensive use of cult-generated information and propaganda. So they're taking away outside influence and bringing in their own influence. And with thought, they require members to internalize the group's doctrine as truth, such as black and white or good versus evil thinking. They can change a person's name and identity, or maybe choose a nickname or what you would prefer to be called. And they use loaded language and cliches that stop critical thoughts. And they reduce complexities into simple buzzwords like completion process. For Teal, Teal's buzzword is completion process, or going clear if you're in Scientology. I'm sorry, the chickens are going nuts right now.
They agree.
And as far as emotional control, they manipulate the narrow range of feelings that some emotions or needs are deemed as evil, wrong, or selfish. And they teach emotion stopping techniques to block feelings. To block feelings that don't serve their purpose. And they make people feel that problems are always their own fault and never the leader's or the group's fault. And they always instill fear. Jose Joe. Yeah, like Jose Joe.
That is not cool, Jose Joe. That's a dope nickname. Come on now.
So with that said, though, another common cult tactic is to deflect skepticism over their beliefs by placing the burden of proof on others to disprove it. The believer or the teacher or leader is the one who needs to provide the proof and stop sending others into reaction mode. We love you too, Jose Joe.
That's why we gave you a nickname.
Yes.
You know, it's so funny. Real quick, side note.
Yeah.
I had someone come to me and say, I love Jose Joe or something. And I'm like, arch. No. So now your nickname is getting out there. So.
Yes. But if something is legitimate, it will stand up to scrutiny. You know, the burden of proof is on whomever is claiming that they're an expert. If there's a new therapy or a revelation that's going to save the planet, it's up to the person professing all these claims to provide the burden of proof. I mean, videos and photos are very easily photoshopped, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
To bring this back around a little bit, you have the choice always to just unsubscribe from any and all beliefs and practices that you don't want any part of. Hey, Pearl. So you can choose what you subscribe to a la carte. You don't have to say, I believe that Teal is doing a good thing by openly discussing and talking about suicide. However, I don't agree with all the other stuff that she's doing. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
You can choose your subscriptions a la carte. That's a super cool notion. You don't have to subscribe to everything that a religion or a spiritual teacher asks you to take part in. If it doesn't make sense for you, I mean,
yeah.
You have to be aware of your own vulnerabilities. You have to Absolutely. Educate yourself. So again, to bring this even closer back to where we started, if you go and you see a psychic and you're told, oh my gosh, you're so smart, you're so super gifted, you can see all of the realms, but you're not quite there yet. And you have to do A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z before you can get there, before you can interact with those realms. Oh, that raises up every hair in my being. Yes.
Red flags. Absolutely.
Yes. So if someone is offering courses on how to reach these higher levels immediately, I'm like, nope. I don't know about you. What's your experience, Kimmy?
Well, for me, I want to see what's their experience first. You know, do they have training on there? You know, how long have they been in the business? You know, what specifically are you trying to teach me? Because there's so many people out there who take a couple of courses and all of a sudden they're teachers. And I'm not saying that you can't go out and spread the wealth, you know, because it's not our information and our, you know, gifts to hold on to and not share with everybody. But I don't know, you know, for me, you need to be in the game a little bit. I'm going to check you out a little bit. I'm going to do some research on you, maybe see if you have any videos online. I'm going to see what's going on with you before I just jump into anything. And even then, I've worked with some teachers where there's certain things that I'm like, okay, I feel that, I understand that. But then there's some things that the same teacher will say, and I'm like, that's not for me. I don't feel that to be true. So, you know, it's a little bit of research, but also what does my gut tell me? Mm-hmm. You know, if something doesn't feel right, then I'll take everything that you taught me that makes sense and resonates with me, but I'm going to throw out what doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. So the thing about like spiritual teachers and instructors is that there's no official like accredited program. There aren't any standards. There's a reason why colleges have to be accredited before your degree will be accepted in any field. There's a reason for that. But if you can't quantify or qualify or disprove any of this, there's no way that you can certify or give someone a degree or a certificate or a diploma in any area of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all take classes and we'll get our little certificate that we completed, but it's more for, you know, the experience, you know, the practice, you know, learning some techniques, but, you know, and there are higher ups, there are colleges, spiritual colleges, and that's all good and well. And I'm not saying don't do that because, you know, sometimes I feel like, hey, this is an interesting topic. I want to learn about that.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. I'm just learning from somebody. Like, there is, with all the things that we've seen as psychics, as mediums, as healers, there's some things that are true for some and some that aren't for others. So like, who is the ultimate, like, judge? Who is the ultimate, this is right, this is wrong?
There really isn't. You are. You
are. Well, yes, but there is no, you know, authority, you know, like government or whatever for this. It's, what do you feel? What is your spirit team telling you? Does that feel right to you? Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this on the show before. It's like, you can, you know, go to a teacher or whatever, and they'll say this, 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 but that's how they learned. Things have evolved so much because of needs and technology and becoming, you know, more connected with spirit. So something that worked, you know, 20, 30 years ago couldn't be, you know, maybe the foundation that you work with, but now there's so many different avenues, you know? So what works best for you?
Yeah.
And I have to say, some of the things that some of the teachers who have a lot of experience, some of the stuff that they say just doesn't resonate with me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know what?
There's no disrespect. There's no disrespect in that. I'm totally okay with how somebody works. I just know what works best for me, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. You know what does not resonate with me, though, is people who charge $10,000 or more for a certification program. That is something that I'm not okay with. I mean, for a certificate of, I mean, I get it. You're getting a lot of experience. You're learning a lot of things. I'm not discrediting what they're offering. However, is a 6-month certification program really worth $10,000 when you have 120 students? Because you are, you're so popular.
Do you want better? A $10,000 class for a weekend. Out of your mind. Out of your mind. You are not going to teach me anything more than somebody who's charging $125. Mm-mm. Okay. Maybe you might have, I don't know.
I'm going to put up the church finger. I'm walking out right
now. Okay. The reason why I say this, the reason why I say this is because in my research, the originator, the one who brought this information to the masses, didn't charge anything.
Right.
Didn't charge anything. So who are you to charge somebody $10,000 and then basically say, well, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth your spiritual growth? I am not taking out an equity credit line so that I can lay hands on somebody.
Oh,
it's just not happening.
No.
When there are perfectly good, great teachers out there who are teaching the same exact thing, and do your research, you know, mm-hmm. make sure you have one who will charge you a fraction of that. I understand the energetic exchange, but you are not getting that much exchange from me. Okay.
If you're talking about Reiki specifically, there should not be any energy exchange whatsoever because you're using universal. If you practice Usui, traditional Reiki, it was a part of my lineage that I was told, if I attune you, you are not ever allowed to charge anyone to teach them how to use Reiki. I said, okay, that sounds great. I love that. That was just a part of my lineage. So there are people out there that don't charge anything. But the problem is with our human lizard brains. I love that term. Thank you very much, Anthony. Our human lizard brains is that with marketing, When somebody sees this huge astronomical price tag associated with something, they think, oh, that has to be worth it.
Yep.
Sometimes that isn't always the best option. Yeah, and Beverly, I did tell you that very same thing when I attuned. Yeah, when we did the attunement for you. But Jose Joe made a good point too, that if any teachers tell him something like my way or the highway, then bam, he's trucking his way down Route 66. I don't blame you, brother.
That's where, for me, I take pieces. Like, there may be something, I won't say, like, okay, if they say something, you know, one thing that doesn't resonate with me, that doesn't mean that everything else they ever said, you know, is bullshit. You know, read into it. What does your gut tell you? But there are certain things that I'm like, eh, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you? I do me. And we spoke about that before, you know, like telling me what I can and can't do during a reading. Things can't mix together.
Oh, yeah. Don't ever go psychic. You just can't.
That doesn't resonate with me, because that's putting a human limitation on something when I've seen many people do it and there was no negative that came out of it. The sitter received everything that they need. They had their healing. If you want to say, you know what, I'm not getting this from spirit, this is for me now, if you want to segue, then that's great. But I personally, and I don't fault anybody who does, but me personally, I have been working years where, especially like healing messages would come through, because the healing is mediumship. You're channeling something that is not of you. Mediumship, you're channeling something that is not of you. It is mediumship. So those can go together. But that's just how I see it. I don't take away from anybody who doesn't want to do that, or they want to separate that. That's completely fine. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who do that, and a lot of people who say, you know, you're fine. But again, who's to say which one is right? Who is that authority that, what does your spirit tell you? What does your higher self, your gut, what does your spirit team tell you? If your spirit team says go for it, then go for it. If your spirit team says, then don't do it. It's up to you.
Yep, exactly. And I guess, yeah, Teal's spirit team is telling her to go ahead and tell people to take their own lives because they're considering it.
Bullshit.
I can't even with that. It just, and Carol, nail on the head. She said, as in all communities, sharing and helping overshadows those that are only in it for the money. Mm. That's so true. I mean, I don't like talk down about people, instructors, teachers who are trying to make a living. That's not the point here. The point is, when you're charging hundreds of thousands of dollars over years, maybe millions of dollars, to gain people's money, to create a comfortable mm-hmm. life for yourself, that's no. Like, I literally, my fees are so freaking reasonable that I have people tell me all the time, why aren't you charging more to do what you do? Because I live in a very low income area. And I don't want to be,
this out.
I don't want to be, look, I don't want to be Abercrombie and Fitch of the psychic medium world. I don't want to be unobtainable. I don't want to be out of reach. I want to help people who need help. And if you come mm-hmm. to me asking for help and you can't use my services to actually help you and fulfill whatever need it is that you have, I'm going to try to help you some way, some other way, by giving you resources. Mm-hmm. Saying, I can't do this, but here's someone who might be able to help you. Please contact them. But that's because I'm an ethical person and I consult my spirit team, I guess, even though I've never really communicated with my higher self, or not my higher self, but my spirit guides. You know, like it's a thing that happens, and I just know I'm not the person to do this. I'm not the person to help you. But let me try my best.
I struggle with that too. I do struggle with that. I think, you know what? I think all spiritual people, mm-hmm. any entrepreneur, you know, in the beginning, what do I feel like I'm worth? But I don't want to overcharge. I don't want to undercharge. It is very hard, especially in this industry, because, you know, obviously these are gifts and skills and abilities or whatever. And, you know, people think that we should give them away for free. I do have some, not everybody, but I feel into it. You know, does this person really need it? You know, I want to help them. But as in any profession, you got to pay your bills, you know, like right. I'm $10,000. That's come on now. What the hell type of bill? I mean, you must have a mansion, you know, for one course. Come on now.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to pay overhead, you know, lights, you know, whatever, training, all that stuff. I totally get that.
$10,000 worth?
No, hell no. Not that. I'm sorry. No. I'm paid, like I'd be charging people like a little, and I'm like, I'm nervous to even tell them my little fee. And I look around and I see other mediums charging like double or three times that amount. And maybe I'll get there, but like, I'm just feeling my way into it. You know, yeah. I'm doing this, out of the kindness of my heart ish, but it's something that I always wanted to do. And well, no, I mean, like if you want to do this full time, well, you got to make money, right? You know, otherwise you're going to be out in the streets. And, you know, if you want to do it full time, if you want to do it, you know, part time or as a hobby and you still have your full time job, that's, you know, that's another option. But yeah, I want to do this full time because this is for sure. Hopefully nobody from my job is watching. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to help people. But at the same time, you know, we do have overhead just like any other business that uses a skill, you know,
life expenses.
Someone that trains.
We got to eat. We got to put food on the table.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kristen got to feed her chicks.
I got to feed my chicks so they can feed me.
You mean with eggs?
Yes, with eggs. I'm not going to eat them.
The
thing of it is, look at them. They're so cute. There's no way I could like raise a chicken to slaughter it and then eat it. I mean, it's eggs are a byproduct. Anyway, that's getting way off topic.
But
Jose Joe said that my nickname is not Cristal. You are correct. The last time, Jose Joe, you gave me a nickname, I was Kristen.
Wait a minute, Jose Joe. Was that AKA the champagne? Was that for me? Okay. Was that because I didn't know what kind of beer you drink? I know Cristal is. I have some.
Oh, well, shit. I don't have any. I told you I'm in low income area.
I have that Cristal because I'd be charging hundreds of thousands of dollars for my rings.
Oh my goodness.
Totally joking.
So again, not that I have any problem with people who charge hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, if your method works and it's pulling people in and you do what you do, I can't afford you. I can't afford you. That's it. I'm not going to break my fucking back.
I think from an outside the spiritual industry point of view, just to give, you know, some people the benefit of the doubt, based on demand, their expertise and, you know, proven track record, if they can prove that what they're charging is worth it, then, you know, by all means. But sometimes it's just freaking outrageous and it doesn't make any sense. You know, if you're charging something crazy when you can get the same exact information, the same exact service and material and everything is, you know, equal, come on now. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But that's just me. No right or wrong. Feel into your gut. Does it make sense to you? I know when I saw a Reiki class for $10,000, I was like, bye, Felicia. You know what I mean? Like, no. Mm-mm.
I don't got time for that.
I will take my ass to Udemy or Udemy, whatever you call
it. I love
Udemy. $12.90. I love it. I am a habitual learner, so I can't tell you how many classes I've signed up for just because I just love the experience, the practice, and I just love, you know, meeting new people. So whenever they had those sales, which is like every other week, I'm stocking up on courses.
Absolutely.
Not just spiritual courses, but outside, you know, courses for work and even entrepreneur courses, how to do your website, all that stuff. I'm not, you know, getting paid for this endorsement.
You know, but- one we're not getting paid for any endorsements whatsoever in anything that we're mentioning in this episode. But one of the other great resources that I've heard about as far as learning is that I've used personally.
Good question.
Yeah. Hang on. One of the great resources that I've used as well is Center of Excellence. Because they always have sales. You can find a class for like $29 and they offer some fantastic options. So go ahead, Kimmy.
Oh, no, I was just reading the comments. Carol was asking about Tyler Henry.
Yep.
If we thought that he was a cult, because obviously his prices are have to be insane. What do I feel? Personally, I like him. I think he's legit. But I think, you know what? Maybe he was in the right place. Yeah, you know, he was in the right place, right time. If you have, you know, celebrities and I'm sure, you know, it's partly because he has an agent as well. So he's got somebody taking care of the finances. He probably doesn't even touch that. But look at who his client base is. You know, I'm sure what he's charging is peanuts to them. Hopefully,
but they're willing to pay. They're willing to pay to get the best.
They're willing to pay that. Yeah, you know, and that he was lucky that those are his clientele. He started off kind of out the gate with those, but I'm sure that he wouldn't charge the same thing for a celebrity that he, I don't know, for someone who's not. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be more expensive because he is a celebrity.
Now he is.
Then, you know,
thanks to other celebrities.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, but you know, he also does, shows, you know, he can do shows and those are a reasonable price. I don't think he's a cult. I honestly think that he is legit personally. But yeah, you know, they lucked out, you know, not everybody is able to get a, you know, contract and be on TV, but I totally get that. Same thing with, what is his name? Thomas. Why do I I'm about to say his name wrong? John. I'm saying his name wrong. I'm so sorry. I'm blanking out. But basically, you know, the what is it? The seatbelt medium or backseat medium or something like that. Who had a? Why are you looking like that? You have
because
no
I've
idea.
I've never
what I'm talking
heard
about.
Of this person. Look,
he was on Lifetime. He was on Lifetime.
The only reason I even know who Tyler Henry is because I had three clients tell me, oh my gosh, you remind me so much of Tyler Henry. And I was like, I don't know who this person is. I appreciate that. That's a huge compliment, I guess. I hope it's a compliment. And then I had to, you told me, you were like, oh my gosh, the new Afterlife thing on Netflix came out with Tyler Henry. And I was like, really need to, I watched an episode and a half and I was like,
come on.
It's not that he was bad. It was just like, oh, Tyler, come on. You can get so much more specific than that.
Okay, he has a different technique. And I will say that he has a different technique than I do, but did he actually have training? You know what I mean? Like, did he go to a mentor or was he just because he started when he was 17? You know, did he just kind of, this is what was coming to him. People saw that it was accurate. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So.
And I think he was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Living in Los Angeles, for sure. He was in the right place at the right time. I'm not going to be meeting any celebrities anytime soon in Palatka, Florida. thank you, Jose Joe. He said he's like me that. I don't know these people. I do enjoy watching other mediums work more to see how they phrase things, for example. Yeah, absolutely.
Thomas John.
And that's exactly what you were talking about, Kimmy, like how things are phrased and how they're put together.
Taxi driver. Yes. So Thomas John, I thought the show was actually interesting. Now, come on. You know, when you're watching these shows, you know that they break a lot of like the cardinal spiritual rules. However, it's because they've gotten permission beforehand and we don't see any of that. Yeah. They're not going to just literally go up to somebody and be like, hey, you're on TV, we're going to read for you. No, no, no. The producers will go up to somebody and say, hey, we have a medium here. Would you like to have a reading? If so, sign this document. We're going to put you on TV. Are you okay with that? Blah, 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 blah. Then the medium, okay, now we're rolling. I see what, but the people, now the medium does not communicate with the person. It's the producers and all that who do that, but they are vetted. They have full permission. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the seatbelt medium, which I thought was kind of cool. He was kind of like a Uber or Lyft driver, and people that would come in, you know, hey, so do you believe in psychic mediums? You know, some people are like, no, whatever. And then he would give a reading as he's driving them to their location. Now, me personally, I would have crashed that shit mad times. But he, you know, he's a good driver, I guess. And he can, you know, but he had really specific details. So, you know, that's his thing. So that's Thomas John. Obviously, you know, Lisa Williams was on TV years ago doing the same thing. And she told us, you know, those people have full permission. You do not walk up to somebody in the grocery store and just give them a reading. Like, you just don't do that. You have to ask permission. You can't to connect to them and their loved ones. Come on.
Lisa was recently on the show Portals to Hell, just to give a shout out, because I love the show Portals to Hell. They're super, I don't know, logical skeptics, I guess, so to speak.
Terry, I'm sorry.
I know. She got a laugh from me. The medium is in 5 cents. But
the Matt Frazier too.
Yeah. So Lisa Swan, she was Lisa Williams. Oh my god, I'm combining names now.
Lisa Williams.
Lisa Williams was on Portals to Hell recently. Mm-hmm. And Cindy was on it recently too. But there was
last weekend.
Yeah, last weekend. But it was, so there's something that I'm noticing about a lot of televised mediums. So I don't know if you remember, it was probably a couple of seasons ago that Teresa Caputo did an entire day of readings where she would just walk up to people on the street, exactly what you were describing. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people. Okay, if you guys love that show, I'm going to give you another one. And that's Expedition. It's Josh Gates. It's a paranormal. No. Gosh, I can't remember the actual Expedition. anyway,
Destination X.
Yeah, thank you. Destination X. So, but there,
I'm not a Discovery or Travel Channel nerd at all.
No, you're right. It's Destination X.
Expedition.
Yes, thank you. Oh my God, Kimmy. Expedition X.
That's what it's called.
Because they have a scientist and a paranormal investigator, and the scientist guy is always like, oh, no way, it's the sound of the wind. And she's like, no way, I totally caught a voice. Thank you, Jose Joe. Yes, Expedition X.
yes.
But the thing that I've recognized about televised psychics and mediums is that some of them are highly producible. Not that they are highly produced, but that they're able to churn out a result that requires little to no editing. So the people that you see coming back and coming back again and again and again and again as guest psychics and mediums on certain episodes or different TV shows on the Travel Channel, it's because they don't need to be as produced as much, including Sarah. Lots of people. So if they have somebody one time, it's because there was a lot of a lot of, well, maybe this, maybe that, and there was no truth behind it. But if they have someone that keeps coming back, there's legitimacy to that. And maybe that's just my lizard brain buying into the marketing and me thinking, oh, they keep inviting this person back. Maybe I need to take a class from them. Maybe I don't need to. You know, so that's I want to kind of pull that back in, that all of this that we're talking about, we can all very easily fall victim to the marketing scheme that anybody lays out there. And if you just take a step back for a second, even if you can afford whatever service they're offering, and ask yourself, does this resonate with me? Is this something that I need? Do I need this? That's such an important question that we forget to ask sometimes.
I like that you said take a step back.
Yeah.
Because bringing it back to what you were saying before, because in the moment, you may very well think that this is for you because you're in a very vulnerable state. You know, you're these cults and stuff. Take a step back. Breathe. Think it through. Wait until you're not in a vulnerable state. Wait until whatever is going on in your life has passed. Now do you feel the same, you know? And that's why these cults are so bad, because they want an answer now while you're vulnerable. You know, they're targeting you right at the perfect time in their eyes, you know, and it's horrible. And same thing, like you said, even in spiritual classes, I think it's easier to know who you want to work with based on if they are on TV, you see how they work. Is that something that resonates with you? The things that they do, is that something that you would like to work on or whatnot? So it may be easier. But even with those who aren't on TV, you know, ask a couple of their students, you know, research, you know, go online, see if they have any, sometimes courses are recorded and, you know, then put on YouTube for free, you know. Really do your research, because you don't want to waste money on somebody that's not going to help you. No. If you're serious about this, do your due diligence, you know, what's going to help elevate you, what's going to empower you, and empower you, meaning that you're not going to need to rely on this person all the time, because some people they do. I've seen it many times where they become like these groupies, like they just taking these classes because they just want to hang out with like the cool kid. And it's like, but what are you getting? And yeah, I mean, sometimes you take these courses. I am, I can, you know, definitely be where it's like, I love the energy and there's other people that I know that are taking classes. So, hey, we can work with each other. And sometimes I will do that, but you know, that's if I have the means and if it makes sense to me, or if it's a topic that really interests me. It's not just like, yeah, I'm just going to take whatever. And, you know, just because I want to be around these people. So it has to really make sense. But if somebody is telling you to like give up everything and change completely, it's one thing to empower yourself or learn. Yeah, exactly. To learn something. But if it is changing who you are to the core, run away. Like, seriously.
Take
like,
a step run back. Away. Just take a step back.
Yeah.
And sit on the idea, is this something that I actually need? But kind of going back to where we left off in the last episode about the concentration of energy and intentions, I'm interested to know, Kimmy, do you think that it's possible for students to concentrate energy and intentions on an instructor that helps to kind of elevate their position in the spiritual community, that helps them, I don't know, draw in more people based on the energy and intentions that you're putting into them and saying, oh my gosh, this person is amazing. This person is fantastic.
What? Yeah, well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. It could be kind of unintentional, but like, as we know, word of mouth is everything in this business. Yeah. So yes, you know, if there's a lot of people, I know Jose Joe can confirm this, and some other people can confirm this, that if I take a class and I'm like, damn, this was really good, like this spoke to me. If I know somebody that like would be interested, yes, I'm hitting you up on Messenger and be like, hey, this class is available. Kristen, you gotta take this class.
I know.
So yes, I can see that, but I took the class before, or either I know the person. I'm like, seriously, like you'll learn something. If I don't feel like you're going to learn something, I wouldn't, you know, like people don't have money just to spend just to take a class. Like, so I'll give you a heads up. You don't have to take it, but yes, I do. To answer your question. Yeah. You know,
maybe they do have money. Maybe they plan for that in their budget. This is my class taking amount for the month.
And I'm just going to say, Jose Joe did the same thing to me because he told me about a class. I was like, ooh.
See, I'm trying so hard to not drink the Kool-Aid. It's so weird to be a member of the spiritual community, but be resistant to it. Like, just you know.
No, it's not weird, because I think that there are so many different levels or so many different practices. I don't think that it's a one size fits all. So what, you know, resonates with me will not resonate with you. And that means that you'll attract the type of clients that you need to attract, and I'll attract the type of clients that I need to attract. You know, not everybody is going to be a teacher. You know, some people just want to do the work. You know, yeah. Some people want to experience, do the work, and then teach others. There's so many different things. And then in between that, there's, well, then, you know, some people might teach this, but then others teach this, you know, it might be a portion of it, you know? So I think all of the above. If you don't feel like accepting my text messages about a new class that's coming up, then don't do it.
No, I subscribe.
Yes, chip coffee is awesome.
Chip coffee and Michelle Belanger, they're both amazing.
I love them too, because, and I know that you were Chip Coffee for Halloween, but I love that, because I do think you guys have a similar energy. She just left the show, y'all.
I was getting my chip scarf.
Because you guys have the I don't give a shit, this is what I feel, this is what it is to me type of vibe. And I love that. I love 100%, whereas I claim that I am, but I'm like, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. For those that don't know, anyone that I know knows that I can be a bitch. But anyway, and I love Michelle, because she's into the occult.
Yeah.
You know, and not in a bad way. Like, she knows all these things. And you know what? We need mediums out there that understands all this, because there are people out there that do that. There are spiritual and paranormal experiences that are related to that. And you know what? We need a damn medium, many, who can tell you X, Y, Z, this is why this is happening here because of this. Yeah. Now, if you're love and light and all high vibrational and blah, 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 which I love, that's great. But you can't go into somebody's house and say, oh, no, look.
Yeah.
They had a pentagram on the floor, and then somebody painted over it. And so that's why things are going on. But you don't know about that. And I'm just joking. You know, I don't know. I'm not, you know, saying that that's bad, but I'm just giving you an example from the many paranormal shows out there. But if you don't know that type of energy, you're not going to be able to pick up on that. You right. know, so and that's what we were talking about last week, you know, and it's okay to have your specialty. Mm-hmm. And we need people who are demonologists and those who, you know, help assist with the darker things, because I don't care. You know, if you want to stay in this realm and it's happy and flowers and rainbows and all that stuff, that's great. There is a huge place for that. But there's a lot of people out there who need help. And we need people that can, you know, go out and help them. So the Amy Allens of the group, the Cindy Kazas, the Chip Coffees, the Michelle's and Katrina's, you know, those type of people, you know, people who will go out there and say, no, this doesn't feel right to me. You have this. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jill.
Katrina says, Katrina plays like she isn't sensitive, that she isn't a psychic or a medium, but she totally picks up on things. But
well, I mean, it's evident in the show.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
She'll go into a room or into a building and say, "Ooh, this doesn't feel good to me," or "I feel this," or "I see something." So she may not be in her own mind a psychic or a medium, but she's for sure sensitive. What's going on with mm-hmm. you?
Jose Joe is saying, "Oh my God, Amy Allen is so amazing." I'm just biting my tongue here.
That's another episode. Uh-huh. Jose, don't bring it up.
I'm not all trying to burn any bridges.
I'm joking.
Have any problem with her specifically. Mm-hmm. However, they did do an episode of The Dead Files.
Here you see how she said she didn't want to go into it, but she's.
I'm totally going to go into it. They did an episode, and actually two of my coworkers and friends were on the episode as eyewitnesses, two or three, and not including the business owners, because I know them very well. I've done readings at the crystal shop that they did the whole, like, the review or whatever, like how are things going now sort of segment of the episode. So it was just, it was awful. There were things that happened behind the scenes that I don't think production was told about, and so the business owners did them on purpose. There were certain things that they did on purpose to try to create a show out of, and the show totally bought into it. And Amy, you could see Amy was fed up. She was like, so this lady pushed people down the stairs. If you want to look it up, it's Palatka, Florida. They had to scrounge for evidence and go out of town 45 minutes away to find someone who is like a local historian. And the person who they interviewed, oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm getting way off topic here.
All right, we don't want to give details, but I will say this. You know how I was saying like how the producers will go out to people?
They dramatize everything. We'll leave it there.
What is their job? To make shit entertaining, right?
Yeah.
So these people, I mean, if you've ever seen behind the scenes, that's what a producer does. They go out, they do all this stuff. Their job is to make it entertaining, because sometimes when a medium or a psychic comes in and says XYZ, and they're done, okay, you know, great.
Right.
But that's not entertaining. That's not entertaining for an hour. So they have their, you know, they're doing their thing, and the psychic, you know, medium, they come in for what they got to do. They read, and they're out. But meanwhile, the rest of the show has to be entertaining for people.
It does. There has to be some kind of evidence, whether it's fabricated or not. That's why some people in Hollywood, AKA Katrina Weidman, has it in her contract that there can be no false evidence that's aired in an episode. So going back to do your research.
Yes. Also want to say, we got 3 minutes left, but also want to say, this goes back to intention as well.
Yes.
That sometimes people can, and I'm talking about outside people, they can put intentions into a location that there's a little boy there that plays with the ball on the stairs all the time. And now everybody is thinking that. And guess what? That's the first thing that a psychic is going to pick up on.
You manifest whether that shit.
You manifest it. And there has been proven cases where not only was it manifested as in like the psychic is picking up on that, but it actually started to be, this is a whole another crazy topic, that it started to become like a an actual entity, because there was so much over decades and years or so much energy put into. Exactly. So
Kindred Spirits episode called Zombie Boy.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it and you're interested.
Yes, Chip Coffee broke that down. Back to what somebody said, I actually like Matt Frazier. He has so much energy.
I don't know who he is.
I love his accent. I love it. I love him.
I don't know who he is. I'm sorry. I love you, Matt Frazier. I don't know who you are, but I love you.
It's okay. It's okay. But he's Northeast. A lot of these besides some of them are. Yeah. Matt Frazier is funny. And he brings a lot of energy and entertainment into his shows. His evidence is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go back to what you were saying before. I do think that some mediums on TV, at least what we're shown, they don't give enough evidence, you know, and it's almost like I feel this, and then they allow the person to be like, oh yeah, da, 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 da. And then now that person just gave you all the information, and you know, sometimes the medium's like, yes, I was picking up on that. No, don't tell me anything. I'm gonna tell you. That's my job, you know. So I will say some
live and in person, yes. However, on TV, that's not what sells. So
yeah. Yeah. So on TV, you want emotions. You want the person to tell their story. I totally get it.
Some
readings are just.
I mean, I do. But I mean, like,
well, you know why? Because this is what we do. this is what we do. We know the ins and outs, but for somebody who's not a psychic or a medium, damn it, they want to be entertained.
Right.
They want to see somebody cry. They want to see that this is real, and how they know that it's real is by seeing, you know, somebody's reaction.
Yeah. To correct myself, I totally, absolutely care about people's emotions, but what I don't care about is seeing people's emotions play out on TV. That feels like exploitation to me. So
sometimes, yes, I will fast forward through that part, you know, not to be mean, but I'm just like, all right, you know, we don't have to, you know, we don't need to see the snot coming out of the nose and the eyes. Like, give the person some space. Like, give them some space.
Yeah.
Like, they're grieving here. Let them, you know.
Right. Don't ever exploit people's grief or loss. That's a problem for me. Big, big problem.
They do have releases. They are totally okay with going on the shows. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on there.
Yeah, of course. But maybe they don't realize what they're getting themselves in for. Anyway, maybe that's another episode topic.
We always say that, don't we?
We do. We had like four different future episode topics during tonight's
episode. It's from this one episode.
Mm-hmm. We did. Thank you, guys.
I want to pose this real quick before we leave. Sure. I know we have been kind of going back and forth between like a mailbag episode since the very beginning. So I want to put it out there and ask you guys, what do you think about that? This is where, thanks, Jill.
Thank you.
What do you think about a mailbag episode? Maybe even, you know, once a month or once a quarter or something like that, where you guys get to ask your questions, reread your questions on the show, and then we answer them and we have a discussion about that. So what do you guys think about that? Let us know in the comments. And maybe that's something that we can do. You know, sure. You guys are our co-hosts, so we need your help on topics.
Always.
All right. And we should be doing readings sometime soon, right?
Yeah, probably within the next couple of weeks. So if you're interested in being on the show to receive a reading, and if you haven't already, please go ahead and join the Beyond Sensing Spirit group. You can search it on Facebook, and it should be on our page as well. Beyond Sensing Spirit. So go ahead and join the group. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Join the group, and we will post in there when we're accepting volunteers to have readings live on the air for free. And we will see you guys again next week. Have a great night.
Thank you for being with us.